Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Frosted Tips with Lance Bass,
an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, my little peanuts. It's me, your host, Lance Bass. This is Frosted Tips with me, Lance Bass, and my lovely co-host and happen to be husband,
yes,
Michael Turkey Turchin.
Why, hello there.
Gobble, gobble.
It's amazing how that worked out so well.
Was that good?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's introduce our guest.
Brian Austin Green is with us today. Yay!
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Legit teen idol. All right. Now, this show is for the ultimate fans of teen idols. And Brian, you were the epitome of that in the 90s.
So what's really funny is NSYNC was massive at the time. My niece, Caitlin, you were her favorite.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Like you were
she's got good taste.
Absolutely. She does, yeah. So it's funny to be talking to somebody because we had such different experiences of it, because from music to television, Sharon and I were just talking about this last night, and I was saying how it's amazing that you went through massive stadiums being packed with people. So you had that instant knowledge and gratification of like, look at what we're doing. We were doing a show that a ton of people were watching, but we were shooting it in Van Nuys
and
those people weren't
that.
Around. Yeah. We would see it every once in a while when we go do personal appearances at malls and stuff like that. But we both had these like crazy.
Yeah. Because look, the incredible experiences. Fans, I would compare them to NSYNC fans. Yeah. I mean, they're just passionate.
So passionate.
I mean, I loved 90210. I mean, I was, junior high when that show was on, and my sister she was obsessed with New Kids and 90210. So that made me a fan of 90210 and New Kids on the Block. And it was a fun time. And I think that's why right now you're seeing this crazy
revival.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everyone's like
for
wanting
90s,
to
2000s, yeah.
have that 90s, early 2000s. Because everyone wants to remember the good times, the innocent times of their youth.
Yeah.
And now this new generation, which I'm sure you're seeing too, Gen Z, like it's like if we loved the 50s so much that just was so much a part of our lives.
Yeah.
These Gen Zers
are really taking in the music of the 90s, the TV of the 90s, and it's all these new fans are being born.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that with your past shows too?
It's with all like the, I just did 90s con.
Oh God, that looks so fun.
It was super,
how was that?
It was super fun. Yeah. We were all together as a cast, which is amazing.
Yeah,
that happens very rarely.
I know. Especially with Shannon too. It was so nice to see her.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that everybody was there. Was amazing. And yeah, this whole like times coming back around and the 90s being popular again is crazy. It's insane.
It's funny because when I was living in the 90s,
I specifically
remember thinking, this will never become popular again. Like the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they were so defined and great.
Had like a great style.
But it's because we had no idea that, I mean, my opinion, and I get it now. I remember like when my parents used to talk about, the music of the 70s. And I was like, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And now I do the same thing about the 90s. Like, the 90s, man. There was no music like there,
Literally,
like there was in the 90s.
True.
But I think living in the 90s, we had no idea that moving forward generationally, that there weren't going to be things that made such an impact as music and television and all of that did in the 90s, because once the internet really came around in the late 90s, everything changed.
Everything changed.
And I don't know if you're going to see again what it was that existed from the 90s and before.
You won't, because everyone is so spread out and just has their own little, you know, fan areas.
Yeah.
And there's so many options of television shows and there's so many options of music now that you're going to find your little thing here.
And also everyone's connected now. It's like before, like
we had that thing where we could be sort of like, you know, anonymous and kind of hang in the back. And so it made NSYNC more mysterious.
Exactly.
And our show more mysterious because you only get to know people from reading teen magazines or seeing us at appearances.
Yeah. And you could really control that narrative a lot more.
Absolutely.
You know, if you wanted someone to think you're this way, like it was easier. Now you can't get away with anything. People like authentic.
No.
And what was great too is as a kid for the pop culture, you were kind of, like fed what to like. You know, with television, there was only a certain amount of channels. So you had to go watch the show. And if everyone was into 90210, you were into 90210.
Everybody was into it because you were only cool if you were talking about the
same thing with music, TRL. Yeah. Everyone had to go to one place after school to see all their music. So it was Korn to Backstreet Boys, everyone.
Yeah.
But you were kind of forced to be like, okay, these are the 10 artists that I love because they told me I have to love these artists.
This is popular. This is what everybody's listening to. I'm either going to be the odd man out.
Yeah, no, you want to be like, cool. You want to be in the club.
It's like, final watch VH1. Different.
Don't knock some VH1.
I'm listening to Paula Cole and Natalie Merchant on VH1.
But this whole resurgence has been great, and I love things like I don't know if you've seen Abercrombie and Fitch now has done the whole new rebrand of company.
Oh yeah,
it's so good. It's still got that 90s look to it, but way better stuff.
Really?
Yeah, like this shirt I'm wearing is Abercrombie and Fitch.
So great.
It's a cool shirt.
So these companies are really taking advantage of like, okay, we're gonna give these people what they want, and I love it. It kind of reminds me of, because, you know, the last couple of weeks have been a little insane with the NSYNC fandom. Had no idea that the fan base would go that nuts for this. But everyone is really wanting to feel that just their youth
again. The nostalgia,
And then with Taylor Swift.
They want to get back to a simpler time and all of that. Yeah.
And it just reminds me, because I went to the Taylor Swift concert and...
I'm super jealous.
I've always loved her, even you know, when she was a country singer. Like, I just always loved her, and I appreciate everything she does for the world. Like, she just brings out so much positivity,
right?
And so at the concert, yes, I loved watching her, and the songs are great, but it was the feeling of everyone around you just having the best time, happy, exchanging friendship bracelets with you know, people at the concession stand and security, and just smiling. And it just made me feel so good. I'm like, wow, this is what everyone's missing right now.
So great.
Just being all together, just forgetting the worries of the world right now and just having the best time ever. And that's what I'm feeling now is happening with
our
fans.
Like, there was a major shift at the beginning of the year too. Like, I know this is the age of Sagittarius. We sort of moved into that. Okay. And so it's much more, the age of Aquarius.
Oh.
So we moved into this place where everybody is like, really much more open to experience with people, and they're communicating better. Yeah, because we went through a few years there where it was so contentious.
Hey, LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels.
From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, DiscoverLA.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Right. we are here at the Green Valley Ranch. Have you been out here before?
I've never been to this hotel
it's
before.
So great, it's so great.
I know. I didn't know this
it's
existed.
So nice. It feels much more like adult and responsible than
it's more
being
my speed these days.
Yeah, it really is.
I feel
yeah.
like I'm in like Palm Desert at like a nice resort.
Oh, it was like 10:30 last night, and I was like, I'm up way past my bedtime. Like 10:30 is
doing?
I'm usually in bed by like 8:30. Yeah. Like I'm on that schedule.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Us too. I mean, we have you know, your kids are a little older now, but you know, ours are two. And so it is, you know, 6:30. That's that you're
well,
going
to
hear
the first
crash.
Well, you guys have two that are twins. So you bet that's a, I don't know how you do
it.
Like I have five kids,
crazy.
Which people hear and they go, how do you do it? But I couldn't for a second
imagine
what
it's
like to have two.
We don't
know
the difference because we started with two. So like, we don't know how hard that was.
Right.
But at the same time I do because I could just imagine having one and being like, oh, it's like having zero children compared to two at a time.
What's funny is looking back on it now, like I remember when Noah was young and feeling like so overwhelmed. I was like, I don't know how to do this. And this is so hard. And looking back on it now, it's like, man, I could one.
Yeah. Like
that's the,
because
easiest I think it's thing
easiest.
In the world.
With us, we're, I think it's very important, especially the older they get that they do separate things, right? Because twins, you know, they start
super important
to, just be attached.
Right.
Yeah. And so, and it is a boy and a girl. So I want them to have different experiences.
Have their own likes, have their own things.
But when we do separate them and like, you know, he'll take one to lunch or like, I'll take one in the backyard. It's so easy.
So
it is
so
just
easy,
like,
right?
Oh my
gosh. God, just one. You can pass one back and forth.
Going
to each
from
other.
Two to three, that's the big difference because you have to change up your defensive style.
Yes.
At that point, you're playing zone defense. You're
I know.
Like,
Lance
okay,
wants a
I'm going to cover this half of the room. You cover that half. And then you're just like, okay, if you know some drunk kid wanders over into my side, then you're like, okay, bubble wrap everything. And
literally.
So yeah, it's a whole different.
I'm trying
to hold
him for
game.
A third, but it's not working.
It's not. I'm like, we're great with two right now. Why
a
mess
run,
up a good
right.
thing?
Why mess with a good thing?
Good thing.
We figured this out.
Yeah.
We're good at this.
Well, his
nightmare.
Main reasoning is if we go to Disney, one will have to ride by themselves.
Or everything's set up for a family of four flying in an airplane.
Right. I'm a big fan of even numbers, and that just is
it
not.
It just ruins everything.
At that point,
it does. I have OCD. It has
everything's
to be an even
everything's
family.
Off kilter. I like things the way that I like two of everything or one of it.
And I get that because like, I agree with that. So we're just going to have two more.
Huh. Okay.
I know.
So we both were.
Right.
No.
This isn't going well. I'm feeling the tension.
It's like a couple.
And look, I'm all therapy. For a third right now until our kids are out of diapers and just use the bathroom by themselves. Then I'm going to say, nope, don't want to go back there.
No.
That is the toughest thing. Like for me to have a 15-month-old and be back into that stage of like,
I mean,
I've got to do everything for you.
I mean,
that
must be
wild.
You have a 15-month and a 21-year-old.
My older kids are much more self-sufficient. They'll get up in the morning, they'll make their own breakfast and you kind of come downstairs and they're already doing their own thing and they're kind of dressed and ready for school. Yeah. I'm still yelling and going, you got to put socks and shoes on. What do you do? Like you can't go out the door that way. It's raining outside. You can't have shorts and a t-shirt on like this. Your outfit choices don't match what's happening outside.
Okay. You have to be the coolest dad. Like I couldn't imagine my dad being Brian Austin Green. You're so
you couldn't know, imagine your dad
well, I mean,
being Brian
and
Austin
you're
Green.
So open-minded because your 21-year-old is out and gay and proud and you know and it's you're there he was so lucky to be able to be in your family because so many kids out there don't get that and even if their parents accept them there's a lot of times where the kid still knows that they still disagree with it but
it's
with you it's like I think they're just so lucky to have you in their lives.
It's been fascinating. Like it's been a challenge just because honestly it was my son being gay, it was unknown for me. But I think a lot of people are afraid of the unknown, whereas I'm not. To me, it's intriguing and I want to learn about it. So it was like I would get into these conversations with Cash where it was like, I really wanted to understand the things that seemed so different to me at first. And then you realize like, oh, this isn't different at all. Like it's just your choice of partner and it doesn't affect me at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing I'm always trying to beat into people now. It's like, it doesn't it does not affect you.
Yeah. So why are you why do you care something right, that does not affect you?
Why do you care so much?
Yeah.
And why are you trying to somehow bully your feelings and your opinion into something that literally does not affect you at all?
Well, usually it's the case that it really is affecting them in a way they don't want to admit.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. I've seen that a lot. Deep diving. You have a new podcast, Oldish.
Yeah.
With Shauna, your fiance, who we live. She's so great. Tell us about the podcast. What can we expect?
So it's Shauna and myself and Randy Spelling.
Oh, yes, and Randy. Yes.
Whose sister, Tori, was on 90210 with me. He's been
did he do a few episodes, too? I feel like he popped
in. He did a few episodes, and then he did Malibu Shores, which was another Aaron Spelling show. And I played his older brother on Malibu Shores.
Oh, that's
no way.
So he's been a professional life coach for 15-plus years.
No way.
That's what he does. He lives in Portland. He's married. He has two daughters. He's an incredible human being. Like he's so good at just connecting with people and helping you talk through things and listening.
That's great.
People are,
oh my God, I need him in my life.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, he's if you haven't gotten a chance to really sit down and speak to him yet, you should. Right. He's a really, really
amazing person. I saw him last night for the first time, maybe in 15 years. I mean, I guess 20 years ago, we definitely would run into the same
circle. How crazy is that to think like, oh my God, 20 years ago. Yeah.
25 years now. Oh my gosh. It just keeps getting longer and longer. But I always remember he was so sweet. Of course, you know, Tori, and we love Tori. I think that is so amazing that you can find something like being a life coach. Such a gift to give someone.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. He, we've been talking about it as we've been doing the show, and there was a lot about Randy's life that I didn't know. I mean, I've known him for as long as I have.
Did he have trouble with sobriety? Was that something?
He had troubles with sobriety. Yeah. He really, honestly, I think at the end of the day, had trouble with finding what his thing was in life.
Well, it must be
what
hard.
His purpose was. And so it was like he would find these ways of connecting with people, but he didn't understand being a life coach and how you could connect with people that way. And so the podcast that we're doing now is... we do two episodes a week. So we have every Tuesday night, the first one drops and we have a topic, whether it's co-parenting or it's addiction or it is disappointment or like those are the things we've started tackling. And then on Thursday, we have a live version of what our topic was where people are able to call in,
and chime in,
send in questions.
That's great.
And be a part of the conversation. Mm. And so we try and do a real deep dive of those things and take sort of the stigma out of those conversations. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. The last one we just did was about addiction. And so we really got into Randy's story.
Yeah.
Shauna had a story also. She's come from a place of addiction also. And what brought her to the place she's in now. And it's amazing when you realize that people have to go through those things sometimes to learn from them and grow and become, they are the people that they are now because of those experiences.
Yeah, because of that.
Yeah.
And I think when people realize like, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah.
You just have to stick it out.
Exactly.
You have to be willing to look for silver linings and be open to the people that are around you and truly listening and learning being kind and loving. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what can grow out of that.
Totally.
Working with a loved one can be tricky sometimes, as I know.
Shut up, Lance.
But is there something with Shauna that you were surprised about when doing the show that you learned about her?
Getting into like the addiction episode is deep because we're kind of asking questions of each other. And I remember I had asked her at one point, because she had these glaring moments during her times that her low times where she really felt like there was something calling to her and pointing out like, hey, this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I asked her, I said, do you, in looking back on it, do you feel like there were other times where those things were trying to call to you also, but you weren't really paying attention to them? And it forced her back into that time when she was living in that period. And it felt like a different world for her. She was like, oh, that, like, that person then is not the person that is sitting on the couch now. So I think that discovery for her was a great then discovery for me, but we came into it and our relationship has grown and done so well because we feel like we've been on the same path from the point that we met to now. Mm-hmm. And that's an important thing to feel like our moral code matches. We can have differences of opinion mm-hmm. in things.
Yeah.
But we still have a moral code where we know how to handle those situations and not judge each other for the differences, but respect each important. Other and love each other. For
yes.
Them. Have you always been like this, or is this something that you just learned throughout the years?
I'm 50.
Yeah.
It took me 50 years to get to this.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of like stumbling and a lot of disappointments and a lot of things not happening the way I thought I wanted them to happen.
Yeah.
Thank God. Like looking back on things in life, it's like, man, thank you for things not turning out the way I wanted them to.
Yes.
Because the way I wanted them to would have put me on a path that was absolutely the wrong
path.
It's
like that
to
song, sometimes you thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so true. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I feel like you go through that a lot. There's so many times things won't work out. Work things, this thing.
It's so disappointing.
And he's like, and I'm like,
it's disappointing in the moment. And you're in them and you're going, why? What good is going to come
then
6 months
later, and we're like, thank God you didn't do that because otherwise you wouldn't be doing this right now or this opportunity.
Thank God that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in those moments and you think, like, why? Like, why is this? What good is going to come out of this?
Yes.
And then 6 months down the line, a year down the line, you look back on it and you go, thank God that happened.
True. You go through this all the time. Even just with this NSYNC, doing these couple things.
I just didn't think people would care if we didn't have anything.
And I was trying to tell them, people are going to freak out no matter what, like as a fan and everything.
You're giving them your life now. Mm. So you had one perspective when NSYNC was first starting. Mm. Long time ago. So now you are who you are now. So it's interesting for people to see the growth and who you all have become individually and the fact that you are like as open and honest and, and kind as you are. That's an amazing thing for fans
too open
to see
these days. Well, because I mean,
you can
never be too open.
In the group, I keep looking at myself in interviews. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was just not me.
Yeah,
I was like, there was parts of me in there, but
it really was
such
you.
A different person.
Well, you're in the closet. You're hiding half of your personality and everything. I mean, you had to.
I had
put
zero
on a
personality.
Were you in the closet back then? Were you aware of?
Okay. Oh no, I at 5 years old, I knew I was gay. So like, I've dealt with this.
I knew in like preschool for
sure.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah, like, and most of my friends say the same thing. Like, my first memory is being gay. So it's weird that people still can't accept that you're just born that way.
Right.
Like what happened to me at five years old that like, okay, I just like guys now.
It's
like,
so
ridiculous.
Hey LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. From epic shopping to nonstop pride events, discoverla.com is your gateway to everything LA. From walk-up windows and rooftop bars to year-round alfresco dining, Los Angeles is a culinary thrill ride sure to leave visitors hungry for more. From tacos to sushi, we truly have some of the best restaurants. After you get a bite to eat, get a taste for fame firsthand by attending a star ceremony on Hollywood Boulevard or glimpse behind the scenes at World Famous Studio Tour. Stop and see a movie at the iconic El Capitan Theater and check out the stairs outside the Dolby Theater where all the stars walk before the Oscars. Take a hike at glamorous Griffith or stop for a boba or a draft cold brew at an outdoor cafe perfect for people watching. There are endless amounts of outdoor activities in LA with our beautiful weather. And of course, Pride is celebrated every day in Los Angeles. Everyone is welcome to experience our sparkling nightlife, indulgent spas, and sensational shopping. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, signing off.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's take it back because these fans love when we talk about our beginnings. Okay. Now, you were born in Van Nuys.
I was born in Van Nuys. I was raised, though, in North Hollywood.
Okay.
My parents are still in the same house. Valley Village.
Oh, Valley Village.
Yeah. Valley Village has gotten crazy now.
Crazy.
So many people live in Valley Village.
My parents bought their house for $35,000 in 1972. And it just appraised for like 1.4.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Can you imagine buying a house for $35,000? Yeah. And my dad was like, at that point, I was like, oh man, $35,000.
Well, back then it was a lot more money.
Yeah. But now, people can't afford houses now. It's just like the wealth distribution is so stupid.
Well, especially in California.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
What was the family dynamic like?
Family dynamic was great. My dad, my dad's a drummer, so I grew up in music. He was touring with Glenn Campbell.
Oh, sweet.
When I was born and raised. He played on like Rhinestone Cowboy and did the Southern Nights tour and all that stuff.
So
and then
cool.
he stopped touring as I was getting older because you're away so much when you're touring.
Yeah.
And I would see him and it would take him a few days for that readjustment of me realizing like, oh, that's dad. And he hated that. So he then crossed over into doing more studio stuff. He played with like Sinatra and
that's
it was
gotta
really
be
cool.
tough. And we discussed this too, because hypothetically, if we do go on another tour,
right.
What is that going to look like with my 2-year-old kids?
Your kids are old enough though at this point where they have that strong connection with you. I mean, we're talking about like, I was an infant at the point when so he would come home and he'd be excited to see me, but I
like,
still was a baby
danger.
And I was
stranger danger.
Totally turn around and grab onto my mom like a koala bear.
So was music your first love because
it
your
was.
Dad?
Yeah. yeah. I went to school just for music. Oh, and then I stumbled upon acting because
How did you get into acting?
I was going to a music academy on the 32nd Street. It was called 32nd Street School, and it was on the USC campus. Mm. So one of the kids that I rode the bus with, he was acting. And I thought it was so cool because he always had like all these cool toys and stuff on the bus. Yeah. And I was like, you know, are your parents rich? Like, how did this happen? And he was like, oh no, I do commercials. And I didn't understand. To me, TV was like this magical box.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And people that were in it were different from you and I, you know, you couldn't, a normal person couldn't be in that box. I ended up doing a few student films with directors that were going to USC studying. And I kind of stumbled into it, and then it just became so prominent in my life. And it was such a form of income. And it was like, I had to put music and all that stuff on hold because I just didn't have time for it.
Well, it was a good thing because you stumbled upon incredible success as an actor.
Yeah. Yes.
Take us back to the moment you got cast in 90210.
Yeah. So the moment I got cast, it wasn't a big moment. At that point in my life, in the life of an actor, pilot season and doing a pilot was part of what you did.
Right.
You worked all year. You tried to do commercials and you tried to do guest things, you know, guest appearances on different shows. And then it was pilot season around like February.
Yeah.
And everybody would go and you'd book a pilot and you would shoot a pilot. And then it was like, okay, back to the grind. And then all of a sudden you'd get like, oh, okay, I've got 9 more episodes to do this thing. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So 90210 was a pilot.
Yeah.
And it was one of, I had already done like 13 at that point.
Oh my gosh.
I'd been acting. I was in SAG when I was 9 years old.
What was your first gig? What was your first paid
gig? It was a bank commercial that never aired.
Yeah.
But I remember I had been auditioning for things for like a year and I hadn't booked anything and I didn't get it. I was like, I don't understand how this works. And then I booked my first commercial and that light bulb moment happened in my head where I was like, oh, I get what casting directors are looking for and how it works. And from that moment on, I was booking
everything.
Everything that I went in. I did probably close to 70 commercials.
Wow.
I ended up doing Knott's Landing, this nighttime soap. I did that for 4.5 years.
Yeah.
And I was young. I was like 10 and a half at that point when I started doing that.
I couldn't imagine being that young in this business because it's an adult business and you have to grow up quickly. And I can imagine, especially you starting so young and being on such a cultish show that, you know, everyone treats you like adults.
It was really cool though for me. Like with Knott's Landing, I was the only kid on a show with adults. It was a nighttime soap.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, like every other episode, they would just prance my character through the back because I was the son of one of the leads on the show.
Oh, I'm looking at a picture.
Look at that. Oh, see, with Donna Miller. She was my mom.
Oh, no
way. On the show. Yeah. So
was
I was
Joan
like,
Van Ark on that show?
Joan Van Ark was
on.
Because
we had her on our old.
Bill Devane was on. Yeah. Ted Shackelford. Michelle Williams. Like, it was a whole thing. Nicole Sheridan was on.
Oh, really?
Who then went on to do Desperate Housewives. Or Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah, Nicolette. So
it was so cool to be there because I would kind of sneak on set and watch how I would watch how they did it. And I was kind of expected to be, act as an adult, like be professional when I
what
was
a great
there,
education.
But I was a kid.
Oh my gosh.
So I was doing set school and all the stuff.
Yeah,
and
it was so cool.
So interesting. But I learned so much as a kid, doing it. And then thank God, I always had a really strong moral compass from my parents. They always just beat into my head and ingrained this concept of, you know, being professional and being kind to people that were around. Yeah. And their focus was much more on being liked, which it had its benefits, but then it also gets in your head a little bit. And I had to get that out of my system a little bit because you create this false sense of like, I will do whatever it takes to be liked.
And then pleaser,
I'll put my emotions and my feelings aside to make sure everybody else is good. So I had to work past that a little bit.
Yes.
But they did an amazing, it's, yeah. They did an amazing
job. What
was
it like being a teenager in Hollywood and, you know, having fame in an era where there was no cell phones or pictures being taken?
There were only like 12 of us. I know. Well, actors, yeah. Like Leo DiCaprio. And like, we all knew each other.
And we saw the Soleil Moon Frye documentary, yeah. And it kind of like really showed what it felt like.
Yeah.
In that
it was
90s.
This small little world, yeah. And mm-hmm. everybody knew.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
saw knew like each other. Seth Green in mm-hmm. there. You saw Leo in there. Yeah. You saw like Stephen Dorff, and you saw like mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. group of, yeah. And it was this small, but it was amazing because there was no real competition mm. among us because we were all so different.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. They cast Seth mm. Green. Oh, you're looking for a yeah. little redhead kid.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
That's perfect. Yeah.
He's fat, you know, he's fat and good for him. Like yeah. we would all yeah. see each other at auditions and be like, hey, how have you been? What's
I mean,
been going on?
How great
on?
Is that though?
It was
know,
amazing.
The camaraderie is,
it was amazing.
Is great. Do you keep up with a bunch of those?
I keep up with a lot of them.
Nice.
Yeah. It's, there's a cool connection in having those. We used to do these like teen magazine trips, like Teen Beat used to do these weekend trips where it was, they would rent a bus and we would all get on the bus and we'd fill out the forms of like favorite color, favorite things. And they would print that in the magazine. And then it was like this trip, we would all go to Marineland. And so it was like, you know, your favorite star is going to Marineland. We would all, it would just be this like, that's complete funny. From page one to yeah, page yeah. whatever it was.
It was like the original influencer.
Right. Yeah, it yes. was this, yeah. it was this whole like, you know, it was this like, mm-hmm. this sort of episode almost of like, hey, the trip and the fun yeah. thing. And mm. that's what the issue was about.
Yeah.
It was really cool. I told you okay. I talked a lot.
No, it's no, so great. You know, it's okay. good when I haven't even gotten to the first talking. Like not even, yeah. not even gotten past the first.
No.
All right. Yeah.
But I want to make sure that we get what you want out in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
So whatever you want. Anything you want, you want oh, us
no,
to talk about.
No, it's honestly, I'm here for what you guys are doing. Forces. So.
Is coming out. Oh, okay. Yeah. 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 yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Sure.
It's this thing. Okay. So you're going to be on Special Forces
yes.
soon, which, all right. One, you did Dance with the Stars, obviously, with Shauna, which
yeah.
to me was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. It was.
Yeah, because you were season 7?
Yeah, season yeah. 7.
So I had done a hard, like I had literally done a hard pass on that show.
Yeah. yeah.
15 seasons yeah. and counting. Mm-hmm. They would come to me every year and it was like, why yeah. are you guys even yeah. coming to me? Like yeah. it's no, it's
same
been
way.
No every you're single
until
time.
Joey did it. I was like, oh wait, this kind of looks fun. Yeah. But I was like, there's,
so
I can't do that.
I, Sharn and I ended up meeting, we had started dating. It was the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't much going on.
Yeah.
And so then they approached again and they were like, hey, we know you've been a hard pass, but here's, it'd be interest. You and Sharna would obviously be paired together. And I had done these trips with her where she had done professional sort of dancing things. Like we were in Universal Orlando and Disney Orlando because she was doing this big dance convention. And there were all these little girls that just were like, you know, yeah. giddy when she would walk mm-hmm. in a room because she is
an icon.
She's one of the best in the world yeah. at what it is she does.
I know, and people don't realize that, like with all of these on Dancing with the Stars, all the pros are like superstars pros. In their world. Like that's how they yeah. made it on that show.
They absolutely mm-hmm. are.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
best of the best of the best.
So, so I was fascinated by it and I didn't understand the world. I didn't understand how much work really went into it for her to yeah. be at the point where she was. So then you do this show and it's like you're learning technique and all these, like I grew up dancing.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, oh, if you feel it, dance it. Like mm-hmm. that was my
more
motto
like
in life.
Dancing too. Which
totally.
Is
yeah.
You just
like
kind of move.
Yeah. You find yeah. a circle.
Exactly.
And, you
yeah.
know,
just go
you
for
do
it.
Whatever you, whatever dance moves you've learned. And you know, I was Roger Rabbiting everywhere.
I
was
I can still doing do the Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. It took me a little while to get down the Roger Rabbit. So yeah, you're jumping in and it's a 7 day, you know, it's a 7 day a week.
Oh yeah. You have
process.
No life. My relationship ended because
no life.
Of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I lost 20 pounds very quickly.
I remember when they first pitched it to me, they were like, oh, you know, it's in the beginning, it'll be like 2 hours a day. It's really simple. And then
liars.
It's like, once you're in it, you're like, oh my, I want to
yeah.
do this for like 7 hours a day.
Yeah,
I
didn't want to be good.
And I want to do this 7 days a week because yeah. it's live on Monday and mm-hmm. I don't want to look like
an idiot.
Dummy.
Yeah. yeah.
And then it weird because
for getting
yeah,
around the floor.
Sometimes you're learning 2 to 3 dances in a week and then it never goes perfectly until you go live for some reason. Like the rehearsals, everything, like it didn't go well.
For you though, you had the mentality of you've been learning choreography because of what you did. And 15, so it was like,
and you can
it was a little more natural, I would assume, for you to fall. Once you learn the technique of it, then it's like, oh, I'm good with choreography.
That was
I'm
the problem because, again, we were hip hop dancers. So everything's, you know, low and down. And then everything in ballroom is up and it's like perfect. Yeah,
the frame
so
and the
it
whole. Just,
it hurt. But yeah, thank God. I mean, even I started in show choir and then in sync and it was all choreography. So it just really taught me how to just learn.
You know what was
quickly.
Hard for me too was being, because the man is supposed to lead in those dances. Mm-hmm. So she had to teach me choreography to the point where I was good enough at it that I could lead her, even though she was the one dragging me around the floor. Yeah, she had to make it look like I was the one that was dragging her around the floor.
I always thought that on the show, it must be, it's kind of harder for the men, because you have to lead and take that stance. And most of the men who go on the show are not dancers remotely.
Yeah,
you have
Max
a lot of the women
and Val,
on the show.
They're monsters. Yeah, like they, you know, they'll just spin you around and do it. And they're,
but how scary is it for the lady? Because you're with, you know, a new dancer and you have to trust that they're not going to drop you on your head.
It's
dangerous. It's dangerous.
And we were working on dips and things and she was like, oh no, you do it this way. And she's putting all of her trust in you. And doing stuff, and I was like, I wouldn't trust me if I were you.
That is scary.
So what was harder, Dancing with the Stars or Special Forces?
Totally different.
I know.
Totally
completely.
Different.
Special Forces looks intense.
It's intense because it is so much more immersive than you think. Like going into it, I thought like, okay, there's going to be challenges and things we do. So I can prepare for that. And then mentally I can prepare for just being yelled at all the time. And so I'll be good. I can get through that.
Yeah.
But then once you're there, we shot in New Zealand. It was dead of winter for them.
Oh man.
So there's snow on the ground. It's freezing cold. We had barracks that were just these like plain wooden walls. We had like a stove basically in two rooms. We had a drying room and that room, drying room, meaning we were in water in the cold. Like they had to cut squares out of the ice in frozen lakes for us to do things.
It was
really intense.
Yeah. It's my worst nightmare.
You don't think about the concept of like, okay, the challenge sucks. But then afterwards, you're jumping in ice water fully clothed. Oof. You then have a dry pack in your backpack. You have to go into a room and change into dry clothes and keep yourself from. Mm-mm. So it's that. It's grueling.
That's what Beverly told us. Beverly Mitchell was on it, and she was.
You're so immersed in it, and it's real. Like you are going through this training.
Yeah,
That's something I don't think I want to experience.
Absolutely not.
I mean, maybe when I was younger,
There's something cool about it, though.
Oh, like, 100%. I believe it.
So
there is something that, like, an experience like that, unless you're in the military, and you've been doing it, there's no other way in life.
I think everyone should feel that at some point in their life. Like, I love that Israel forces you to have to go through military training. Because I think everyone needs to know what that is so that we can all kind of see. I mean, because, you know, the military is a big part of this world.
I think
so
also.
What's keeping us
Lance
all safe.
Could never. Lance won't even go in a pool if it's below 90 degrees. 100% though, and I'm not even exaggerating.
I
remember Sharna was like, oh, you should like do cold showers and stuff leading up to because you're going to have to do water things there. Oh, and I was like, I can't turn the shower on cold and do
absolutely
like there's not. I was like, you know what? I would rather just suck it up, jump in when I have to
then like
and then
prep.
Be done with it. Then like prep for.
Listen, you're never
going to
get.
Really
you're
going to
get prep for it. You're going to be cold every time. And
she was like,
hell.
Oh, you should do ice baths. I was like, nope. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm just going to like just deal with it in the moment.
As it comes.
Again, in my 20s, sure, I would have loved what that experience was. But now I just know if I did the show the first day, I would tear a shoulder or something. I mean, I would just I'd be out. Like my body would not be able to handle that anymore.
It's so grueling that you get so sore in living that way that becomes the thing of like, can I do these next challenges? Not can I do them, but can I do them without hurting myself because I hurt so bad just in moving and living. And then you start realizing like, oh, this is a young person's thing because my body does not recover enough
to
continue doing this three times.
It's a sad feeling to realize your body's like,
is it ever?
We'll go through it.
Tom Sandoval was on your season, right?
Yeah.
Oh God. I bet he's going to go through it.
he's a young guy, but he's a really good person. He just, it's, you know, it's hard navigating
especially
life when you're under the microscope.
On a reality show, that's
we would have these conversations where it was like, dude, you now have access to Instagram and lives and all of that. Like, be willing to put yourself out there a little bit. Be human, because people are accepting of people being human and making mistakes. Mm-hmm. If you are human and you make those mistakes and you acknowledge the mistakes that you made, instead of playing the what did you expect? It's like people don't.
They don't respond to that. No, you want you to be authentic. So you're human.
But if you sit there and you genuinely apologize for things and mistakes that you've made and anybody that you hurt within making those mistakes, people are open to that because everybody does that. We're human. We're human beings.
Exactly. And we're all just so ADD. Like, the next scandal that comes out, people are going to forget. So you might as well make good on that and then be in the good light.
It's only going to be news for like two days. If you just come out and apologize.
You can't report on anything.
And then all of a sudden they're reporting on the next scandal.
This too shall pass, as I always say. This too shall pass. Brian, what's next? What can we expect besides Oldish?
Honestly, the podcast right now. Yeah, especially the show. And then I sort of am in a place in my life where I don't really plan much ahead. I'm just sort of in it day to day. And I'm at a point too where I'm trying to say yes to as many things as I can actually do just for the experience of them. Because you never know. It's even in these things that you do that are crazy that you say yes to, you come out of them and you go, I'm so glad
I did that.
I did that.
And do it while you're young, because just like Special Forces for me,
I've only got about 5 years left.
Please, you're very young. I feel like our generation definitely, maybe we took better care of ourselves, but I do feel like we move better.
Our generation forward has been open to so many more things, and medicine has progressed in such an incredible way. Mm-hmm. Mental health has progressed in such an incredible way. Mm-hmm. I wish that on everyone. It's like, when you've got, when we're talking about the medical system and healthcare for all, it's like, that includes mental health. Yeah.
Brian, it's so great to have you on the show.
Oh, it was so great.
So good to finally meet you.
I know, it's weird because I feel like we've met before. Yeah,
I know.
Even I told you for your birthday, we saw you guys. Rosewood.
At Rosewood, we were staying at the same time. We're like,
and it was one of those things of like, wait, I've met. No,
so I told Sharna that, and Sharna, she's so amazing. She was like, I saw Lance there too, and she pointed you out, and she was like, I think Lance is, his husband are sitting over there in the corner.
I pointed you guys. I was like, that's Brian Austin Green and Sharna.
So what's funny though, what's funny is Sharna's first thought was like, they have no idea who I am. So there's no reason to go over and say hello.
Oh, you know.
But it's that weird thing of like, people think that celebrities all know who each other is and they expect it. I see people all the time where I'm like, it was cool seeing them.
There's so many times like Lance goes there about seeing me. He's like, they're not gonna know who I am. I'm like, shut up.
It's so crazy that we do that. But yeah, Rosewood, God, that was an amazing hotel to be in.
Oh my God.
We went
and
there.
And now we know each other. And so hopefully
now we
can
go back to Rosewood together. We can double date.
That is probably, that's my favorite hotel. I mean,
we went there thinking we were going to go hiking and seeing Santa Barbara and all this type of stuff. We didn't leave the hotel.
It's so amazing. It's so odd. We were talking about the train that runs
through the hotel.
Who was it that walked on that property and they were like, yes,
I have a vision.
This is the one. We're going to decorate the train tracks and have the gates and somebody that works it.
Make sure you don't get run over.
It's going to be like freight trains running through the hotel, carrying fuel and, cattle and all those things.
Only Carrusco could build a place that is probably the most expensive place in Santa Barbara with a train going right through it.
So expensive.
So expensive.
We were in a room and it was like, I don't think I've ever spent this much money on a room.
I know, it's
Those rooms were, yeah. I mean, it was insane.
Yeah.
Those were costly.
It's crazy. All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. We're definitely going to have you on because I know I could talk another 2 hours with you.
Absolutely. For sure.
I would love to.
Next time we'll get to the questions.
Yeah. Next, I swear I didn't even get to question number
next
one.
Next time we'll get to talking about what we actually
I do
want to
just fly through a few because we do have fan questions. So, Lindy 102, did you enjoy 90s Con?
Absolutely. It was super fun. It was like summer camp, honestly, for us.
Do you still dance with Sharna?
I don't. My body, I'm 50. I can't.
I'm 50.
I can't really dance the way I used to when I was younger. But we're working on something right now that we want to shoot just to put out on social media. It's just kind of a nice dancing
keep moving.
Experience.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
Might be not as crazy dance moves, but keep moving.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who is your favorite 90s artist or band from? What is it? Media Melanie. Oh, man.
TLC was one of them. Yeah. I know Chili and Tian really well. And so it's amazing.
I love the Chili and Matthew relationship.
Do you?
Yes. I think that's a good match. I don't know them.
Yeah.
Well
it's
at all.
It's a cool like match. Like, I don't know them.
It looks like it works so well.
Yeah.
I love it. They look good together.
Media.
Just a good couple. And then the last one here from G4U81. Did you keep anything from David Silver's wardrobe?
No, I did not. I kept a scrapbook of what to never wear again.
Yeah, that was basically
it was a
90s
lesson.
Oh, yeah. Should have been in sync.
Yeah.
It would have really been a doozy.
Well, thanks again for being here. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Be good to each other. Don't drink and drive. Take care of those animals.
Yes.
And until next time, stay frosted.
Hey, thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Frosted Tips with Lance.
And Michael Turgenart.
And at Lance Bass for all your pop culture needs.
And make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars, 6 if you can. See you next time.
Hey, LA, Lance Bass here with the latest in the City of Angels. Immerse yourself in our vibrant fashion scene where exclusive streetwear meets high-end boutiques. Stroll through styles defining our bold, wildly creative city, like the unique finds at Melrose Trading Post, a real LA gem. Explore star-studded experiences on Hollywood Boulevard, behind-the-scenes studio tours, and moments of awe under our legendary blue sky. Picture this. The iconic Griffith Observatory, inspiring directors worldwide. Plan your weekend at discoverla.com. It's the time to leave your mark in the City of Angels. Lance Bass, zatting off.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.